This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Today, we celebrate jazz, whether you're in the mood for conversation with an acclaimed jazz drummer and composer, an evening celebrating a collaboration of jazz and ballet, or a concert with international jazz guitarist to connect with a local guitar master. It's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. The renowned jazz ensemble Brian Blade and the Fellowship Band will perform in concert with the Loyola Symphony Orchestra this weekend. It's a first for the ensemble, which celebrates its 20th anniversary this year. We caught up with the acclaimed jazz drummer Brian Blade by phone. Brian, welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thank you for having me, Diane. Appreciate it.
This must be a great homecoming for you as you return to the city and the university that gave rise to your musical career.
Absolutely. I'm so thankful, first to Dr. Anthony DeQuire, the dean at Loyola. I've known him, you know, since I attended Loyola back in 1988. And I was thinking about this idea with John Coward, my bandmate and dear friend, whom I met also at Loyola in 1988. And so, you know, just thinking about this idea, I called him and proposed, you know, trying to, make it happen if he saw his way clear. And he did. And he introduced me to Dr. Jean Montez. And here we go, you know, like actually bringing some dreams into reality.
You originally are from Shreveport, Louisiana. What were you listening to musically growing up?
Primarily the gospel of my church family. My father's a pastor now for 56 years here in Shreveport at Zion Baptist Church. So I started playing drums in church when I was 13. I followed my brother's footsteps. He's 5 years older. So when he left home to study at Dillard University in New Orleans, I sort of moved into the drum chair there at church. That was the bedrock, you know, on which everything else has been built, you know, and the foundational experience that sort of informs how I see the music and take that experience into every other dive bar or concert hall around the world. It doesn't matter, you know, the music is still praise for me. And I was listening to the Jacksons and Earth, Wind & Fire, Stevie Wonder, and and everything else.
So how did you move from gospel and R&B to jazz?
Mostly because of my high school band director, Dorsey Summerfield Jr., great saxophonist and teacher. It's always that one, you know, who introduces you to something outside of your experiences. You know, check out this Thelonious Monk record. Listen to this John Coltrane album. Listen to this Miles Davis record. Listen to Duke Ellington. So, you know, those names were new to me when I was 13, 14, 15, you know. So gradually I started to buy these records, discovering who Wayne Shorter was, and then given the opportunity to play in his professional group, Dorsey Summerfield and the Polyphonics, when I was in high school, as my brother did.
So now you move to New Orleans, you attend Loyola School of Music, and 20 years ago you formed the Fellowship Band. Tell us how that came about and how you have grown musically over the decades.
We kind of acknowledge this year as our 20th year as a band, but the genesis of the group started that year in 1988 when I met John Coward. We became fast friends and we always played and trusted each other, you know, as sort of reflections and brothers through the music, but, you know, just as people. A year later, in 1989, Chris Thomas moved to New Orleans. Ellis Marsalis was returning to New Orleans to begin the program at the University of New Orleans. So there was something happening that brought these people into my life. That was the beginning, and it took roughly a decade before we, you know, Myron Walden and Melvin Butler came into the picture and into my life as well.
Now, this will be a new experience for you, playing with the Loyola Symphony Orchestra. What will you explore in this collaboration?
New music for the Fellowship Band that I've composed and that John Coward has composed, and arrangements by myself and John Coward for the Fellowship Band and the Loyola Symphony Orchestra under the direction of Dr. Jean Montez. I also reached out to my former professor emeritus, John Mahoney, who was one of our heroes. And I called him. I said, you know, we're coming back to Loyola. I know you retired, but please, would you touch one of the compositions and arrange it for us in the orchestra? And he was gracious enough to say yes. So we will be performing one of my pieces that Mr. Mahoney has arranged, and hopefully another piece that I've arranged will feature Steve Mazakowski at the guitar, who was also John's and my professor and inspiration. And Dr. Montez was asking me, well, what's the theme of the the whole experience or the night, the concert? And I was like, I don't know, you know. But in that moment, I thought, well, we're trying to create something together, you know, and for the first time. So I said, I think actually the theme will be Becoming One, because I think the orchestra might play something on its own, and perhaps the Fellowship Band might play a selection alone. But then we have to come together, and that is going to be the juice, Becoming One. I like that there is this amazing opportunity to have all of these fine students and artists and souls there to contribute to the conversation. I'm hoping that we even surprise ourselves. I know we will be surprised. And I'm, you know, again, I'm just so thankful that there's still some firsts in life, some new territory to step into.
Jazz drummer and composer Brian Blade, it's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Oh, my pleasure, Diane Mack. I appreciate you, and thank you for that.
Hope I get to see you when you're in New Orleans.
I hope so, too.
Brian Blade and the Fellowship Band perform in concert with the Loyola Symphony Orchestra in Roussel Hall at Loyola University, Friday, 7:30 p.m. Across town, acclaimed avant-garde jazz cellist Helen Gillet joined some of the city's finest artists and choreographers for the premiere of The Art of Jazz at the Marigny Opera House. The work continues the Marigny Opera Ballet's third season, featuring three premieres to live jazz ensembles. Helen Gillet is here with Marigny Opera House Executive Director Dave Hurlburt. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks.
The season opened with a bang for the Marigny Opera Ballet with a new take on Giselle, which garnered several awards at the Tribute to the Classical Arts.
Yes, indeed. We were really happy and very honored to get those awards. I think Giselle was one of the finest things that we've done with the Marigny Opera Ballet.
And now, on to The Art of Jazz. What was the inspiration for this collaboration of artists?
Every single piece of everything we do is based in New Orleans. So we determined about a year ago, what should a New Orleans-based ballet company be doing? The easy answer is jazz. The Marigny Opera Ballet is a ballet company, but we perform contemporary modern dancing. Modern dance was invented in America. Jazz was invented in America. So to me, that makes a great combination. It was an obvious thing for us to put together. And like most no-brainers, I think it's a really, really powerful idea. The first musicians that I thought of, the top of my list was Helen. And so we began talking to her about the possibility of putting together a new dance with choreographer Nikki Hefko.
And Helen, what attracted you to the work?
I'm a classically trained cellist, but I do avant-garde jazz and contemporary classical. I work in a lot of different styles of music, and I sort of fit in nicely with the world between classical and jazz. It's really fun to work with a ballet company in that way.
So let's talk about the specific dance and what you've created here.
I've been working with Nikki Hefko, and she is a lovely choreographer to be working with. We've discussed different ideas around the art of jazz and where we want to go, and she requested working with the House of the Rising Sun. And I requested working with Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child. because personally that piece was really speaking to me. So we sort of combined this idea of New Orleans and the House of the Rising Sun with Motherless Child and started working on a storyline together. We thought about a three-part suite that ended up expanding into a five-part suite. And that's where we settled on this five-part musical suite.
There are two other works that are premiering in the Art of Jazz. What are they and what's being explored? Dave?
Dance of the Dreamers by Barbara Haley and music by Larry Sieber, the great jazz pianist. That is a piece for five dancers. It's basically abstract, and it does what George Balanchine always required. It's an attempt to make the music visible. The third piece on the program is by choreographer Jogo de Lima. That piece is entitled Wary Heat. The music is by Nutria, which is a new jazz ensemble made up of brilliant young artists, Byron Asher, Trey Boudreau, and Sean Myers. Wary Heat is a fairly abstract piece involving, I think, just about the whole company with a lot of surprises in it.
What was most challenging in putting this together and working with the dancers, the choreographers, and the musicians?
This was a bit of an experiment for us to use an art form, jazz, which is basically improvisational, with set choreography. The risk involved is how much improvisation are the musicians going to do and not lose the dancers.
I've learned that there are specific cues and intention, but the important thing is for the composer or the musicians to really have that equal footing with the dancers, mutual understanding, communication during rehearsals to say, this is a moment where I'll wait for you. This is a moment where you wait for me, you know, and just find those places where in time you can start structuring a more free or improvised score. That to me is the exciting part of art. All the musicians involved are incredibly talented listeners and improvisers. So they're responding to the energy on stage. And that is a very special thing. And it is challenging, but it's worth trying because it is a beautiful thing to do well, to communicate between music and dance in that free way.
And in this exploration of jazz, in the three pieces being presented, is there a theme that ties them together?
In each of the three pieces, there's a lot of thought about relationship, romantic relationship, relationships of betrayal, sexual or erotic relationships, even though it's a family show. And I think those moments where the nature of these relationships is heightened and focused on are really quite powerful moments.
And the relationship with the audience really is part of the performance at the Marigny Opera House. And it really is going to be a special experience, I think, for the people there to see what can happen. Because every night the music will be a little bit different. You know, there'll be elements of improvisation. I think the dancers feed off that energy, and so it just keeps it really fresh.
Jazz cellist Helen Gillet and Marigny Opera House Executive Director Dave Herbert. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Marigny Opera Ballet presents The Art of Jazz with performances running Thursday, Friday, and Sunday, 8 p.m. at the Marigny Opera House, 725 St. Ferdinand Street. More info is online at marignyoperahouse.org. And in the interest of full disclosure, I'm a member of the board of the Marigny Opera House Foundation. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. And we have another musical treat, one that strikes an international chord. The Bruskers Duo, on tour in the U.S., returned to New Orleans for an encore performance with acclaimed guitarist Jimmy Robinson. The classically trained Italian fingerpickers explore jazz with a unique style, covering classic works they make their own. Guitar master Jimmy Robinson is here. Welcome back.
Hi, Diane. Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
You introduced us to the Bruskers Duo last year as they made their debut in the Crescent City. What are your thoughts about this blossoming musical journey and their success in winning over local audiences?
Well, we're really glad to have them back. I met them in Italy a few years back when we were both doing the same festivals, and they're just really great young players. I don't think they're probably in their mid-30s, maybe pushing 40, but they're just great players, really good musicians, dedicated and their approach to what is basically jazz standards and their repertory is really interesting. They do really interesting arrangements, a lot of humor, a lot of finely tuned moves between the two guitars, and people just were knocked out by them last time. We did three dates in New Orleans last year, and packed houses, and people loved them, so we're really happy to get them back.
So who are they individually?
Eugenio and Matteo. I'm not going to attempt their last names. Two young guys from Modena, Italy, which is sort of near Bologna. Beautiful place. They teach and they play and they perform. They do festivals around Europe. And I think this is their third trip to the U.S., second trip to New Orleans, and they're kicking off the tour here.
So tell us what's new this year. I hear there's a new release from the Brusker's duo, Four Hands Party.
Yeah, brand new record, really great. Same quality level as all their other stuff. I think this is their third CD, if I'm not mistaken, and just really imaginative, and they're really virtuoso players. They both play nylon string classical guitars, but basically do jazz repertory. Very intricately arranged, and a lot of humor in there, and a lot of just alchemy between the two players.
Will they play something from the new release?
Oh, yeah, they're going to play a nice full set on each gig. We also have some pieces we do together. I've learned one of their pieces, and I wrote a piece especially for the three of us that we played on the last tour. In fact, we debuted it on their last tour, and we're going to do those again. You can find it on the internet pretty easily. If you just look up Brusker's Duo with Jimmy Robinson, you'll find this nice little clip from the Snug Harbor.
Give us a feel for that particular...
That piece? It's an instrumental piece. Got a little Latin influence to it, sort of a melodic minor harmony, and real fun, challenging. It's got a lot of difficult passages, but it's got a nice big section in the middle for soloing, so we can improvise. Really fun to play. I actually play it with the New Orleans Guitar Masters as well.
Do you have similar approaches to the guitar?
They're classical players, so it's all fingers. I'm a steel string player, and I play with a pick, with kind of a special pick that I've invented. And so a little different, but I studied classical in college, so I kind of have a feel for where they're coming from. And I know they studied jazz players, and so it's sort of a big common ground in the middle. I do electric guitar as well, but for this set, it's going to be all acoustic guitar.
So what exactly is being explored in the works that will be performed?
Their pieces are basically from the jazz standard catalog, and they have some sort of pop tunes that they've taken in as well. Most of my material is original stuff. I have some vocal pieces, but the bulk is instrumental. We have that in common, but there's a lot of jazz and classical influence, and in my case, a lot of R&B, there's some New Orleans in there, some Celtic, some rock and roll. So I kind of just blend it all together. I just, whatever I like, I'll throw in.
Yeah. Now, the piece that you're going to perform together, you composed last year?
Actually, prior to their arrival, it was finished. We actually rehearsed it on the internet a few times since they're in Italy and I'm here. And then when they arrived, we did some rehearsals and played it. And we debuted it at the Snug Harbor. And it went well. Good. And there's a tune on their record. It's, of all people, it's a Sting song called Fragile, which is a really beautiful minor ballady sort of tune, and they have an arrangement of that which I learned. It's really lovely. That you can find that online pretty easy.
That's one of my favorite songs.
It's a beautiful song.
It's incredible. I heard their rendition of it. It's just beautiful.
Yeah.
Can you talk more about your composition, the one that you're going to perform that debuted last year? What is the title and what was the inspiration for it?
It's called New Guitar Trio. Very clever title. Couldn't think of anything else. But studying classical guitar in college, there was a lot of Bach and a lot of Baroque and Renaissance music. And it's got some flavor of that, I think. There's some counterpoint and stuff. But it also has a pretty strong Latin influence. And so those things combined, not an unusual marriage in composition, but it feels really good. It feels like it has a little meat on it. There's a lot of intricate things that you have to really bear down and concentrate to play, which is what I really like. I get bored easy. Mm-hmm. And like I said, there's a nice big improvisation section where we each get to take a solo and play whatever we want. So it's very much fun.
Now, I can't help but notice you brought your guitar with you.
Yeah.
Can you play us out?
I'd be glad to, yeah.
Wow. Simply beautiful.
Well, thank you.
Guitarist Jimmy Robinson, thanks so much.
Thank you, Diane.
The Bruskers Duo will perform 3 concerts while on tour in Louisiana Thursday, February 9th at Chickiwawa with the New Orleans Guitar Masters. Friday, February 10th in the French Quarter at Music at the Mint with Jimmy Robinson. And Saturday, February 11th on the North Shore at St. John's Coffee House Covington, also with Jimmy Robinson. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.